Test, test. All right. Test.
Hello.
Hey, is this Mary?
Yes.
Hey, Mary, it's Nate from Kate Radio. How are you doing?
Oh, good, good, good.
Good, good. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate you taking the time for me.
Well, it isn't that. It's just I never know what to ask, so I get kind of going.
Oh, no, that's all right. Well, I just wanted to kind of go over, well, first to start off, just how weird it's been going through, I guess, the start of a season that now isn't happening first and just kind of looking ahead a little bit. But mainly wanted to talk about just real general conversation about just your time coaching for so long in Albert Lea, and just even before that, how you got into this sport in general when you were younger or competing. I don't know what your experiences have been there.
I started with no competition. I went to Robbinsville High School, and the only thing they had for girls was GAA, dance line, and cheerleading.
Oh, okay.
And then I went on to college and became a physical education health teacher. So that's kind of how you,
all right,
you know, you get into it.
Okay. Well, we'll talk more about that, too. Yeah.
My athletic ability isn't the high point of all that.
All right. Well, I'll ask you to break that down just a little bit more once we get into things. But, yeah, just wanted to talk in general just about that and just how you got into coaching, too, and all that. Just really a real broad conversation about all of it. And,
okay.
Yeah, it won't be anything too difficult, I wouldn't think.
No.
All right, well, I just wanted to start out doing a quick little intro as if we're on the radio, and then we'll kind of just roll from there. Sound good?
Okay.
All right, cool. Oh, and I wanted to make sure, your last name, is it BC?
BZ, yeah.
BZ, okay. All right,
it's
thank
like a
you.
B and a Z.
Okay. All right, well, we'll get into it, and then you'll know when to come in.
Okay.
Here on KATE 1450, we're talking sports here on Kate Radio as we do every single weekday. And while there aren't that many sports going on right now, we decided that we would take this opportunity to start to look back at former athletes and figures around the area in sports. And today we have someone who is still very active in the Albert Lea sports community, the girls' track coach, Mary Beasy. And coach, I want to talk to you a little bit about just your history in this sport, but first, I got to ask about just what's going on right now. And it seems like kind of a foolish question the more and more I ask it, because it seems like this kind of thing is unprecedented, what's happening around the world. But have you ever had something like this happen with one of your seasons being either cut short or stopped or suspended the way it is right now?
The only thing is weather. It doesn't cut it short, but it makes it difficult to train.
Okay. What are you telling your girls right now, as there's still so much uncertainty surrounding the start of the season, whether or not there will be a season in general? Has your message changed as this has started to develop more? What's the message that you're telling the girls as they really don't know if and when a season will start?
I am no longer coaching girls track. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
We may have to do this over again.
No, it's okay.
I retired a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
And it's just that, you know, I'm 75. I'll be 75. I shouldn't make myself older than I am. So you may want to.
No, that's all right. Yeah, we can cut out that part and just keep on going then.
Okay.
Well, I do want to ask, now let's say we're not until like the middle of May that we could get a season started. That's a really, really short time frame for trying to compact a track and field schedule in there. Just on your opinion, what do you feel would be the best way in that kind of a time frame? And again, we don't even know if middle of May is when we're going to get started up again, and again, if at all. What would you think would be the best way to try and salvage a season for these girls that are out there running and taking part in these events, especially those seniors who you don't want to see miss their last season?
I don't know if they can, because Minnesota High School League has already deemed that there'll be no seasons. So I don't know if they would go back on that again, but when you're talking middle of May, you're talking tournament time and conference time. and going into the state meet. So with track, it has a lot to do with conditioning. And right now, they're not probably training because they know there's no season. So that would be really hard to try to bring a team together and compete.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's definitely difficult, and you feel for those girls who aren't going to be able to have a season, though. But let's step a little bit back into your history just in sports in general. Now, we talked a little bit about before we actually got into on air here how your history as far as competing actually isn't all that deep. But can you just give us an in general run through of how you got into doing this with girls track and field and coaching, and even further back, how you got interested in sport and competition maybe?
Well, I graduated from a high school in the cities, Robbinsdale High School, and all I had was I could try out for dance line and cheerleading, or I could just do GAA, and I did GAA. When I got to the University of Minnesota, I decided that after my freshman year, I think Phys Ed and physical, Phys Ed and health would be a good major. So I switched to Mankato State College where I graduated. And at the college level, my senior year was the first year that they fielded a volleyball team and a basketball team, and they did some track. After graduating from college, I got a job in Ellendale, Minnesota. And I taught there for a year. My husband had a track background from Owatonna, and he made me a track around the football field. And he would come and help me train girls. And we had one meet, and that was all the meet we ever had. And after that, we moved to Waterloo, Wisconsin, where my husband went to college, and I taught physical education at the high school level, and I had a bunch of interested girls that were eager to participate. And so I had a basketball team and a track team. The basketball team got started because I went into the principal and I said, "You think you could give me a bus? These girls would like to go next door and practice." And it just evolved from there that eventually by the time I left 3 years later, they were playing competitive basketball, and the conference finally got in a swing of having a competitive season for girls. Then after that, I went to Owatonna and I coached volleyball for a little bit, picked up my coaching certificate, and then we started a family. And I quit teaching, from there we moved to Elmore, Minnesota, where my husband was a football coach, track, and wrestling, head wrestling coach. So then after that, he decided to go into business with his dad, and we moved to Albert Lea. And Hank Guzzi, who lived next door, asked if I'd be interested in some coaching. And so that's spring, I coached with Lois Fagerquist as an assistant track and field. So that's how I got started in track and field. And after she left, they hired another young lady to take over her job. She went to start the softball team. And the young lady that I taught with and coached with for almost 40 years was Marco Wayne. And I ended up finding a job in school. The other position that I held in Albert Lea is Brenda Lucky was having a hard time finding an assistant swim coach. And she lived in my neighborhood. And she, I said, "Well, have you found an assistant?" Because I saw they were. And she says, "No." She says, "Do you have a certificate? Do you have your life saving?" I said, "Well, yeah." And she says, "Well, would you like to coach?" So that's how I started swimming, and I coached with her I suppose between 8 and 10 years. So I've coached swimming and track and field. And I got the it was fun because Margo Wayne was a seventh grader when I started coaching.
You mentioned how when you were just first starting out, even in college still, and then starting out helping out with coaching too, about how there weren't all that many opportunities for girls to participate in sports. And then when you kind of got it started, things got into the flow of things and things like that. But I guess my question is, do you feel like the interest was there with girls long before it actually got into being a regular thing where things are now, where girls have just as many sports opportunities as the boys do?
When I came to Albert Lee, I was coaching with Lois Fagerquist, and she had the volleyball. We had 50 girls out for three teams. So that the enthusiasm was there. But again, you know, all they had to do was come out, and we played, and you played within a season. Now you almost have to be a year-round athlete in that sport to reach the level of competition that you have now.
Why, and you explained how it all happened, kind of getting into the coaching and all that, but why did you want to do this, to get into coaching, track and field, swimming, any of it?
Well, I wanted to see girls have the opportunity. It's a great character builder, and it gives them some grit and something, you know, some self-confidence in themselves. I have a granddaughter now in that will be competing for Albert Lee, and she, when I look at her, I think, boy, she just takes command of the situation, you know? She's ready to do it. She tried track for the first time this year, and she just went into it, didn't hear one bit of complaint. She said, it's all right. I like it. So that was kind of tickled me, of course.
I guess staying in that same vein, you had kind of a unique experience of seeing this all grow from something that was very small to, again, like the point now where girls are having a lot, in a lot of cases, the same opportunities as boys. What do you think were some of the biggest steps that were taken just while you were involved? And at the same time, do you feel like there are still steps to be taken?
Well, probably Title IX was your biggest step.
Right.
Where they had to offer equal sports. And there's where you got, and there was enough interest to field teams, and girls were willing to train. It wasn't easy because I can remember having volleyball practice, and the boys thought that they should have the game, have the best of the gymnasium to shoot baskets. And they would bounce the balls and say, come on, get those girls out of there. And I had another coach, not in Albert Lee, but when I had the girls, he would not get out of the gymnasium until it was exactly his time to have the gym. So, you know, we fought some battles for equal and equal practice time. You have rotation. The girls don't have to always practice after supper. You know, they get their equal rights for, you know, the same amount of space and time as the boys do.
Can you break down just a little bit how big of a jump that was? Again, because you mentioned Title IX, obviously nationwide, everyone is known as being a huge thing for girls and equality and just all of academics and athletics too. But just, I guess, kind of break down like the year before Title IX happened compared to when Title IX was put into place. How big of a jump was that for how much participation girls had in sports?
Well, I think we've had some strong leaders. You know, you can just do the Phi Ed and not worry about the coaching. But we had some girls that saw the opportunity, or some women that saw the opportunity, and they fought for gym space, practice times, all those times. And it happened gradually. It didn't happen overnight. I know when sometimes the girls kind of moan and groan, I think, do you realize how hard this was for girls to get where they had to be? And then the State High School League came along. Dorothy McIntyre was a great developer. in girls sports that really push for it at the state high school league. So it's come about, and I would say, probably in the 10 to 15 years, did girls go outside of the school sports system and find camps and teams to play on in the summer to better themselves. So it's almost to the point where a girl can only be a one season athlete.
I have to ask Mary. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's the same thing with the boys, you know, and I think that diminishes our numbers of good athletes. That, you know, if you have a three-sport athlete, you know, you have that excellence all the way through, where if they only train for one sport, you don't usually, you know, those kids could easily play in other areas.
Mary, I want to ask, we've talked a little bit about and gotten the story of why you've been in one place for so long in Albert Lea coaching, but I want to know a little bit more about why you've been in coaching for so long, because while a lot of people end up coaching for a long time because it's their passion, they a lot of times end up going different places where the better opportunities may be. A lot of people end up in the same place just with family or whatever it may be, like you mentioned, but don't end up coaching for as long as you did. What was it that kept you hooked over the years to keep on going?
Well, Margo and I started in 1977, and we worked very well together. I had my duties, she had my duties, and we had fun. We had fun coaching, and we were amazed at the girls that we would get, and the good kids, and they would train hard, and it's just a good feeling. And this is a little story about how focused I am. When I get out to the field, I get really focused, and all of a sudden I'll look at my watch and I thought, gee, at 5 o'clock I was supposed to pick up my daughter from Brookside. And so she had been waiting there since 4 o'clock. So it's just, I guess it's a passion to see girls do good. And when you have some really nice athletes, and even the ones that maybe aren't at the top of the ladder, it's just fun to see their joy and their expectations of what they can do.
What's your favorite memory, or two or three, from your time coaching this team?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Oh, well, I guess, you know, taking kids to the state meet is always a thrill. And the one memory I have is of Christy Munson, and how she won state in the mile, and how hard she worked for that, and how gracious she was. She's one, but also the fact that we brought, when I first came, we had a bunch of sprinters that were fast. I mean, state fast. And they were so much fun to work with. And we got to the state, and we missed second by... They had to look at the photograph to see who won, we or another team. Well, they thought we didn't win, so we got second place. And I guess that's a memory that always stands out in my mind. Winning a Big Nine title, I think we won two of them while I was there. And it's just exciting. They're excited.
And also, as someone who's done it for so long, what advice would you give to coaches just starting out, trying to get their feet under them in any sport?
Organization is a big thing, and making sure everybody is busy and doing something, or taking the time to just kind of contact and have some communication with girls. And you got to have understanding, too, of their life. Sometimes they're, you know, pretty, they have other things, you know, family chores at home or something like this, that they're in charge of kids. And you have to sometimes work around those special cases. There's no hard, fast rule, but yet you have to have rules, of course. And I just think if you can bring the personality out in every girl and communicate with every girl that's out and give them that little bit of encouragement, and then, of course, organization of making sure everybody's busy all the time. No one's really standing.
Well, I'd like to thank you again. Former Albert Lea girls track coach Mary Beasy joining us just for a few minutes here on KATE Radio. As while there's no sports going on right now, we like to take a step back and look at some former athletes and sports figures from around the area and talk to them about their experiences. And Mary Beasy has quite an interesting one, and I thank you again for taking a couple of minutes to share some of it with us. Coach, we'll look forward to talking to you again at some point in the future, and thanks again for taking the time to chat with us here on KATE Radio.
Thank you for listening.
All right, thank you, Mary. I appreciate it a lot. Yep. Again, calling in and talking to us for just a few minutes. It means a lot to, well, me trying to scramble to find stuff to do, and it was really interesting to hear some of your story. I appreciate it again.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, thanks again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.